This is, we've been doing the celebration banquet for well over a decade, and every year I'm just astounded at what the Lord has done and how he has blessed us. And I hope to encourage you for just a few minutes tonight with a way we can be obedient to the Lord in this regard, and that is specifically with the idea of prayer. And just to kind of give you a little background, as a pastor, and our elders understand this as well, I feel a lot of times like we're in a constant battle with the American evangelical culture. What is the American evangelical culture? Well, to just broadly paint this with a very broad brush, it is consumer-driven, it is results-driven. A local church becomes a company that provides services to try to make people happy. The customer is always right, and that sort of thing. We see this very often, even in guests that come to Grace Bible Church. Many of you have been guests and you have stayed. Some are guests and they don't stay because they sense that we're not here to pander to them. We're here to serve them. Those two things are very different, though. But the church, the glorious bride of Christ, which certainly can't be defined well in one short message, the church is a mysterious, wondrous institution. She is an organic representation of Christ himself. We're called by the Apostle Paul the body of Christ. And that's an unfathomable idea. The body of Christ is quite remarkable in one particular way. The shepherds of the church, we're to feed the body, we're to nourish the body spiritually. And the result is that the body produces growth. It produces both inward growth and it produces outward growth in spreading the gospel. And it's just natural. It's organic. This is exactly the dynamic that the Apostle Paul gave us in Ephesians chapter 4, that the shepherds of the church are given, according to Ephesians 4:12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's the spiritual growth. That's the internal growth. As we grow in Christ's likeness, as we grow in our ability to trust the Lord, to have faith, to understand his sovereignty, to be about the business of growing inwardly. And as the church grows up in Christ, verse 16 of Ephesians 4 says, this causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's the outward growth. That's the expansion of the kingdom community. The kingdom citizens, the roll call of those who will be in the future kingdom as it continues to increase. We are to be disciples, which means to be a learner, and we are to make disciples, and we are to make disciple makers. And this is how God has designed the church. It's natural, it's organic, it's the way it ought to be. Now, I wanted to remind you of those basic truths because the text I want to consider tonight for just a few minutes is also our theme for tonight, and it is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a very short verse, where Paul exhorts the young Thessalonian church. He says, pray without ceasing. He expands on this idea a little bit more in his letter to the Ephesians. He says in Ephesians 6:18 that we are to be praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end, being on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So what is Paul saying here? Pray without ceasing, short version in 1 Thessalonians 5. The longer version in Ephesians 6, praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. Well, this is the idea. Older translations say to be constant in prayer. That prayer to you as a believer in Christ is like breathing. It is the oxygen of our existence in Christ. And in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul adds the focus of lifting up the saints to the Lord, the believers, the church. Now, why is he speaking of that? Well, earlier in the same chapter, he outlined the spiritual battle that the church faces. And that's why he says you must lift one another up. But our focus for tonight, pray without ceasing, has a natural question. That question is, Pray about what? What are you to pray about? Well, I would contend that the more mature that you become in Christ, the more you grow in that inward depth in your faith, the more refined and frankly, the more expansive your prayers ought to be. Or at least they should be. And so let's just look in the mirror together for a moment, you and me. If you were to evaluate the measure or the depth, or might I even say this, the importance of your own prayers, what you spend the most time praying, what you spend the most time speaking to the Lord about, we already have an evaluation. We already have a measure of the maturity of the depth of your prayer life, and I'll explain that in a moment. Or if I could put it this way, to use a negative to illustrate the positive, if these types of prayers that are mature and expansive and important were a high fever with a thermometer just show a 98.6 for you? Or would you be burning hot with prayers of depth and maturity and importance? So tonight, just for a moment, I want to challenge us as a church to consider a high calling, a higher calling, when it comes to praying without ceasing. And I want to do this in a very simple way, that there is a test that we can go through. Frequently, the Apostle Paul asked for prayer. He asked for the churches to pray for him. And the context of what he asks for becomes very important for us because it tells us what was important to him, because he's asking the church to pray gospel prayers, to pray kingdom-oriented prayers, to pray expansive prayers that are honoring to Christ and honoring to God and not just for us personally. And that becomes the test. In fact, Paul asked for kingdom-oriented prayer in three realms, three arenas, and this will be the easiest outline I ever preach, so take note of this. Here are the three arenas of kingdom-oriented prayer. He says that we should pray out, we should pray in, and we should pray up. Out, in, and up. And let me just walk through this. First of all, Paul asked for prayers that were aimed out. Aimed outward. It was very rare that Paul ever asked for prayer for himself, for his own comfort, for his own needs. He asked for prayer for the effectiveness of the gospel mission. That was always his focus. In Romans 15:31, when Paul was collecting money for the needy saints in Jerusalem, he asked the Roman believers to pray, quote, that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. He was asking for prayer to be a successful servant, to be successful in his ministry to the church in Jerusalem, to be faithful to them, to be true to his word. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. Spread rapidly is just a single Greek word that just simply means to run. In fact, some English translations translate it to speed ahead, to go ahead. The idea is that Paul is asking for the Lord to lay the groundwork for gospel presentation, to prepare the hearts of listeners in advance. And what's interesting is that he reminds the Thessalonians that this is exactly what God did for them before Paul ever arrived. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God had the word speed ahead. To the Colossian church, he asked for prayer for new opportunities. Colossians 4:3, he said, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been bound. Paul, by the way, he's in prison when he writes this. He's praying for new opportunities, even as he's imprisoned. I want to give you some assurance as a local church, and this is what is so exciting to me as a pastor. Here is an assurance for you. Not a single one of you is 100% responsible for the spread of the gospel. None of you are 100% responsible. None of you is 100% responsible for the effectiveness of the ministry of Grace Bible Church. In fact, not even I, as the preaching pastor here, I'm not 100% responsible. I just have a part to play, just like all of you. Did you notice somebody who was missing in that video? Me. And I love that because we have so many faithful servants in our church. It's the collective working together. That's the way God designed us. We're the body of Christ. What Paul told the Philippian church was a partnership in the gospel, that we partner together. This is used of God to make a difference, to change individual lives as the Lord brings them across our path. But I want to be very clear. This collective effort doesn't happen just with biblical preaching, although that is the foundation, nor does it just happen with programs or conferences or music worship. The way this collective effort happens, it doesn't just happen because we do this or that. It doesn't just happen because we have people listening to our messages both in this room and outside of this room. It happens God allowing us to do wondrous things for His glory. It happens because we pray. That is the singular, sole, and first version, reason rather. And how do we pray? You pray out, asking God to do abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, to thrill us and to make us marvel at the fact that He reaches people beyond our doors. So the first way Paul prayed, he asked for prayer for that which was out. Second, Paul asked for prayers that were aimed inward, to the inner man. Even as an experienced apostle, the Apostle Paul felt the weight of his calling and he asked for divine help. This is a great example in Ephesians 6, beginning of verse 18. He exhorts the church that they are to be praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end, being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. I read that already, but now I'll keep going. As well as on my behalf, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now this is mind-blowing. This is the Apostle Paul we're talking about. This is the man who's experienced more persecution than any living apostle at that moment. The one who stood in the synagogues of every city he went to, who proclaimed Christ even to hostile Jews. The one who stood among the wisest of the wise in the city of Athens and proclaimed the gospel with great boldness, with great clarity, with great eloquence. And he's asking for help in the opening of his mouth. And twice he asks for boldness, for courage. Similarly, to the Colossian church, he made this request in Colossians 4:4. He's already asked for prayer for gospel opportunities in Colossians 4:3, which we read earlier. And now he continues, so that we may speak the mystery of Christ, for which I have been bound, that I may make it manifest in the way I ought to speak. This is Paul who wrote Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, these masterworks of theology. And yet he says, pray that when I open my mouth, I say what I'm supposed to say. Now, these texts I've just read, they tell us some important principles about the spread of the gospel. First principle, prayer is never ending. It's never ending. If the great Apostle Paul, who's already a veteran of the ministry, Paul, who would be a headliner in any Bible conference anywhere in the world, at any era, in any time, if he believes that prayer must continue, then prayer is never ending. And this is very important for us as a local church because we can't just ride the coattails of some great prayers we prayed 10 years ago. So prayer is never ending. Here's another important principle. Shepherds never stop needing prayer. Shepherds never stop needing prayer, especially in the wake of famous pastoral failures over the past few years. Many pastors I speak to speak of just finishing the race well, just finishing without collapse, finishing without failure. There is a target on the back of your shepherds. That's just the spiritual nature of things. Satan hates the shepherds of the church because we proclaim the head of the church, the one that Satan hates. So prayer is never ending. Shepherds never stop needing prayer. And here's a third important principle. There is an expectation of answered prayer. As you pray in about those character qualities and strength and courage and determination, there is an expectation of answered prayer. Paul fully expected what he asked for in Colossians 4:3, that God will open up to us a door for the word. He fully expected that God is vitally interested in the spread of the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, he will provide for the prayers that are prayed out, and he'll certainly provide for the prayers that are prayed in. There can be a weariness in the gospel ministry, both for the shepherds and for the sheep. There's not always a sense of punctuation, if we could call it that, in the spread of the gospel. The sense that you finished, you remember in school how great it felt to finish a semester, and then you got out into the real world, and every 16 weeks, the world didn't just cater to your every need at that moment, and that 4 weeks that you took off every Christmas wasn't there anymore. We don't have that in the church. There's no semester. There's no time where we graduate, make it to the next level. In fact, tonight's banquet, this is our little bit of an attempt to just take a breath and have a sense of punctuation, looking back at the year that God has given and looking ahead at the year that he, by grace, will give. But tomorrow is still coming. When I was in seminary, there was a saying that some of the professors told us to remember, that Sunday's coming. It's always coming. You get through a glorious Sunday, you wake up on Monday morning, and the clock starts ticking, and like a train coming down the tracks, Sunday's coming again. So we need to pray in the realm of that which is inward motivation, inward strength, inward courage, inward determination. Whether you're doing something like ushering or taking care of children or teaching little ones, all the way up to teaching in a small group, whatever you're doing, you must pray in. Pray for your shepherds, pray for the deacons, pray for one another. Paul asked for kingdom-oriented prayer, three realms, out, in, and finally, up. What do I mean by up? Well, Paul often faced intense persecution, and he looked to the prayers of the saints for great help. Prayers in the realm of up means asking flat out for divine intervention, for protection, for help. He made a request to the Roman church for prayer. Romans 15, 30 and 31. Now I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea. Paul's stiffest opposition, ironically, were from the very Jews that he loved and wanted so badly to come to faith in Christ. And he asked for protection from them. To the church at Thessalonica, he's already asked them to pray that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. And now in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, he says, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Now, in context here, when he says that not all have faith, he's speaking of men in the church, some of whom are perverse and evil. They're fraudulent. They're false believers. They're the very hardest part of the gospel ministry for a shepherd. So he asked for prayer. He asked for protection, for rescue. In one of his prison epistles written from his house arrest in Rome during his first Roman imprisonment, Paul wrote to Philemon, he says, and at the same time also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. What is that? That's asking for prayer for release from prison, for God's divine intervention. His hope that Philemon, along with all the Colossian church where Philemon was, he was a leader there, that they would pray for his release. He also requested of the Philippian church, Philippians 1:19, I know that this will turn out for my salvation, meaning his release from prison, through your prayers. Now, these bold requests by Paul, these are very exciting to think about. He fully believed that God would answer these prayers because God is fully invested in spreading his own gospel. So Paul, fully believing that God is highly invested in the ministry of the spread of the gospel, in the growth of the church, the discipleship and teaching of the churches, he has no problem asking for divine intervention, for divine help for the sake of the gospel. He had no problem praying up as it were, that heaven would intervene in the affairs of the gospel ministry. How the Lord wants us to believe. How he wants us to trust him for great gospel-centered intervention. I've seen church leaders who spend more time looking at the church's bills or at the church's budget, and those are good things, but they spend more time looking at the church's bills and the church's budget than they do looking at the Lord of the church, as if they're going to find answers on a spreadsheet instead of finding answers in the Word of God. I've seen church leaders spend their energies on worldly strategies to somehow cause the artificial growth of the church instead of spending time in prayer asking for divine help and divine intervention from the Lord of the church. If you're a member here in the past year, if you're a member here in the past 3 years, if you're a member here in the past 5 years, the Lord brought you here because the people before you prayed for you. They didn't know your name yet. That was just the easy part once you arrived. But you're here because others prayed. And I've seen church leaders, sadly, who consider the members of the church a means to an end, as those who merely fund the efforts of the leaders, those whose numbers make everyone feel good about how many people there are, instead of those being trained and taught, as Paul told the Ephesian church, to do the work of the ministry. That's why you're here. We do it together. Listen, you want to add some high octane to everything you pray? You want to add some fuel to your prayers, what you're praying for in your own life even? Well, let me tell you how to get heaven's attention, if I can put it that way. Make all of your prayers, all of your requests, centered on the glory of God and on your gospel effectiveness and on your church's gospel effectiveness. Now, what do I mean by that? Not just, Lord, please give me strength and health, and that's a fine prayer, but Lord, give me strength and health that I may give back to you some of that strength to serve your people in this way or that. Not just, Lord, please help my wayward child. That's a good and godly prayer. But Lord, please help my wayward child such that I could give testimony to others of your goodness and your grace, and that you would build my faith so that I could build the faith of others. Not just, Lord, please bless my business so that I can have lots of stuff for my family. But Lord, please bless my business so I could be a funnel of your resources and that people would be saved because of what I give. Not just, Lord, please help me with this relationship problem, but Lord, please help me to glorify you and to be a gospel witness to the grace which you have given me. Please teach me to treat others with the same grace that I've been given. I said earlier that if we're looking in the mirror together for a moment, if you were to evaluate, measure the depth, or might I even say the importance of your own prayers, what you spend the most time praying about, that we have this measure already, what the Apostle Paul requested prayer for. That is our measure. It is a glorious standard. The older you are in the Lord, and might I say, young people, it would be good for you to start now. You are to show a greater and greater and greater concern as reflected in your prayer life for what? For the gospel mission. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. You are to pray in the realm of that which is out. For gospel opportunities, for the word of the Lord to spread rapidly and effectively, yes, even from our little church here on White Lane. You are to pray in the realm of that which is in, for strength, for endurance, for your shepherds and for yourselves, for faithfulness to not live a life utterly focused on you. And you are to pray in the realm of that which is up, for divine protection, divine intervention, for glorious, even miraculous things to happen, for God to providentially pave gloriously effective pathways for the ministry. As I watched this little video we put together, James Oweiler put it together, and he was concerned that it was so long. He wanted it to be shorter. But that's what the Lord has done here, and that was the short version. I just watched that with my mouth open. Because that's what God has done. Because for years we have prayed prayers that are up. The great Scottish reformer John Knox wrote, "The strength of the church lies not in its numbers, but in its cries to God." The 19th century London pulpiteer Charles Spurgeon said, "Prayer is the throbbing machinery of the church." The 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody wrote this, "Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling church." The 17th century Puritan pastor Matthew Henry, he wrote, "When God's people meet to pray, it is as if heaven and earth join hands for the glory of God." Three little words as powerful reminders that you and I are to pray without ceasing. And to be in prayer for that which is beyond ourselves. You are to pray in the realm of that which is out. For gospel opportunities, for the word of the Lord to spread rapidly and effectively from even our little church. You are to pray in the realm of that which is in. For strength and courage for our shepherds and for yourselves. For faithfulness to live a life that's not just focused on yourself. And you are to pray in the realm of that which is up. Divine protection, divine intervention. For God to providentially pave glorious pathways for ministry. It breaks my heart to see that American evangelicalism can barely grasp what we're talking about, if at all. But for you, I would urge you to make a simple reminder. It might be in your prayer notebook, it might be in a sticky note in your Bible, it might be on your refrigerator. It's very simple. Pray in the realm of that which is out. Pray in the realm of that which is in, and pray in the realm of that which is up. Three words for you to remember as you pray this year for Grace Bible Church: gospel opportunities, strength and endurance, divine providential help and protection. And about a year from now, we'll do this again and see how the Lord has answered those prayers. I believe it with all of my heart. God answers prayers that are always about His glory. That's a no-brainer. Out, in, up. Let's pray together now. Our Father, we come to you now asking you for, once again, your divine help. In the grand scheme of things, in the church, Grace Bible Church is a blip on the radar. We are a little tiny dot on the graph of church history, and we barely are known within blocks of our own neighborhood, and yet we have seen people come to faith in Christ consistently year after year. We have seen the growth of this ministry and that. We have seen the influence go beyond our walls, literally in other parts of the world now, and I believe with all of my heart this is only and solely because of prayer. May we never think that we are anything except your slaves. And I pray for the members of our church that this year, Lord, not just in our small groups, not just in our Sunday evening service prayer times, not just in our leadership meeting prayer times, all the ways we gather to pray, but in our individual prayer times, Lord, that we would be committed to have these high-octane, greater, expansive, more important prayers that are centered on looking outward, on being strengthened inward, and your divine providential help from upward. Lord, all we want to be is faithful. I know it's asking a lot considering the history of churches, but I would ask you that Grace Bible Church would be faithful until Christ returns, that you would let us be one little cog in the wheel of kingdom progress, that you would let us be one little part of the progression of adding citizens to your kingdom roles. Thank you for these who are here tonight. May they be the backbone of prayer in our church in 2026. And we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.